just pray that you bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for your presence in our life. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Thank you to our music team this morning for leading us in a musical worship. And last week in the park, I talked a little bit about the importance of eating together and how much that was a significant part of Jesus's ministry. So we took a week off of looking at Jonah because we've been studying the book of Jonah. And we're going to go back to the book of Jonah this week. We've already been in Jonah 1 and Jonah 2. And just as a quick recap, we know Jonah, I mean, it's a short book of the Bible, and it's a pretty well-known story. We know that he hears a word from the Lord, and he doesn't like it. And so what does he do? He runs the opposite direction that he is supposed to go, pretty much 180 apart from where God wants him. And what does God do? Jonah is on a boat, and God sends a storm his way, and the sailors who do not know the Lord, what do? They say, it's all your fault, and they eventually toss him overboard. And then we know that he gets swallowed by a big old fish, and he spends that quiet, stinky time in the belly, 3 days, just him and God does something in his heart. We don't know all of what happens, but we do know that while he's in the fish, he prays to the Lord a heartfelt and sincere prayer. And he makes promises to the Lord of what is going to happen. And at the very end of chapter 2, it says, right after his prayer, it says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Not the most pleasant image. So if you've had breakfast this morning, I'm sorry. I'm going to start by reading chapter 3 in its entirety. It's only 10 verses. And then we'll talk about a couple of things that stand out to me. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. So you could imagine, imagine like walking through downtown LA or making your way across the entire Bay Area, walking for 3 days, or going to New York City or something like that, some of those big cities. Verse 4 says, "Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city." So he's in the heart of Nineveh. "And he proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." That's the message God has told him to share. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Now, for any king, unheard of so far. This is the proclamation the king issued in Nineveh, or he issued in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth." Ever tried to get your cat or dog into an outfit? So imagine doing that with your goats and your sheep, and if you had a cow. Not the easiest thing in the world. And then he says, "Let everyone call urgently on God." Remember, these are people who not only do not know God personally, but are living in complete opposition to all that God is and stands for. "Let them give up their evil ways and their violence," the king says. "Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. The New Living Translation says he changed his mind. Literally, he kind of did a 180 in what he had intended to do and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Jonah 3. We love a good comeback story. Stories of when people are down and out, or they're just way down, they're down bad. And then suddenly something happens, a dramatic change, an unexpected result, a circumstance, and suddenly things kind of turn around in a new way. And these stories often have similar threads in them. Somebody gets a break that they weren't expecting. They are extended a lifeline that they didn't know was going to be there. They're given a second chance to do over something that maybe they made a mistake the first time. Or more broadly, there's some kind of redemptive moment. We see that in sports. We see that in a lot of things that people do. But we love those types of comeback stories, redemption stories. We serve a God of second chances, and often way more than second chances. God of third chances, maybe sometimes 100 chances, way more than we ever deserve. 7 times 7, yeah, 77 times 7, all those things. This is Jonah. Jonah is living this, despite initially failing to follow God, not just running away, but disobeying God and everything that he knew he should. Finally, in chapter 3, it says he obeys, or he listens to the word of the Lord. And God then continues to use Jonah for his purposes. Somehow Jonah has a change of heart when he's sitting in the belly of that fish, and the fish spits him out onto dry land. Jonah gets a second chance, not just to live, because he thought he was dead. First he was in the water, remember, and he thought he was going to drown and drown to death. And then that fish comes, and now he's inside the fish, and he's not sure what's actually going to happen. Am I going to be slowly digested to death? But he's given a second chance at not only life, but a chance to grow his faith. He's given a chance to act faithfully, even though he made a mistake the first time. He's given the opportunity to show the kind of character that God desires and delights in. And thankfully, in our day as well, we may not experience, like the picture says, being spit up onto the land by a fish. Hopefully we don't. But thankfully, in our day as well, this is the same Lord that we serve. The same Lord who can give second chances when we don't deserve it. That, my friends, is the amazing mercy of God. There are opportunities to serve the Lord. And sometimes we do it willingly, and sometimes we don't. We screw up, or we don't really want to do what the Lord has told us to do. Yet in his mercy, God allows us to turn back to him and try again. This chapter shows us how a revival within Jonah's heart, whatever that means, somehow not just affects Jonah, but actually ends up spreading to the people around him. Indeed, a culture, a city, a whole group of people that were as far from God as possible. This is almost like a double redemption story in some ways, at least up to this point. You see, that's the amazing thing about revival, is that revival, when God breathes new life within something, it can impact everything in your orbit and beyond. It doesn't just change you. I remember one of my mentors who was a longtime missionary in Thailand, and he talked about the conversion of the missionary. That often they thought they were going to bring the good news of Jesus to the world, but often they were converted just as much in their own hearts. It's kind of what's happening here in some ways. There's this revival that takes place. We're going to just highlight a couple of things from this chapter, a couple of aspects, I guess, of this renewal or revival that God can not only produce in us and around us if we allow him to do his refining, renewing, redemptive work. But here's the kicker, though. Without revival in here, in our hearts, we have little chance of actually making an impact in the world around us. If our hearts don't change, yes, can God still do things around us? Of course he can. But he can do even more if we would submit ourselves to his will. So let's jump into God's word, look at these aspects on the back of your bulletin. There's four things I want to highlight. The first one is this: God's mercy extends or can extend forgiveness to you, to me, to other people who don't even yet know him. That's the depth of God's mercy. You could also substitute the word compassion in there as well. God's compassion is unlimited. Sometimes it blows our mind. I think Jonah was still having trouble with this in some part. And we'll see it next week when we look at the concluding chapter. He followed God's command. He went to Nineveh. He had prayed within the fish. He had made promises to the Lord. He obeyed even though he had deep reservations about going to that place. He knew Nineveh was a great and powerful city. But he would have so much difficulty, like we sometimes do, at seeing past what he saw, at seeing past the possibility that God was going to do a new thing in this group of people, and in, for all intents and purposes, this nation that did not know him. Seeing beyond the surface is so hard for us still today. We do it all the time. We want to look past the surface. We want to see the heart, but sometimes we just get in the way and we fail to see that, you know what, God might actually be doing something here. He might be doing something in that person, in that group of people. It's hard for us. We get hung up on what we see and fail to recognize that what God sees is a heart that is broken, a heart experiencing brokenness, and someone who's in need of God's love just as much as you or I might be. Jonah had resistance to the ways of Nineveh. You know, he didn't want to go to a place that was so anti-God at this point. And it was so strong in him that God had to give him a direct command. No, this is where you're going. This is where I'm sending you. The heart of power. The heart of ways that are opposed to me. But within that city, redemption was waiting. And because God's compassion is unbounded, and he doesn't have to explain himself to us, although sometimes we wish he would, he extends forgiveness not only to Jonah, but to the people of Nineveh, if they're willing to change their ways. God decides to offer divine grace instead of divine judgment. What God does in that city is a miracle. How his spirit works in the hearts of people. It's one thing for God to get through to one person, but to get through to everybody shows us the power of God's Spirit. To get through to the king, to cause the king to do something the king would never do, to get down in the dust with all the rest of us folks, repent. We don't understand why, but it's clear that at the core we know that God has unconditional love for people, and he wants all people to turn to him. God operates this way in our day too, even if we don't like to admit it. He acts with mercy. He extends compassion. And when we think of the own mercy and compassion that we have received at different points in our life, it should up our compassion meter for the world as well. God somehow, even though we're not able to, we wish we would, God somehow loves every single person. We wish that we had that same kind of love, but we know that we are imperfect. God's mercy can extend forgiveness to you and to people who are far from him. And I say praise the Lord for that. Second thing I see, God's word can correct our actions. We know that the word of God has so many different functions in our life. It can build us up, it can encourage us, it can comfort us in different ways, and it can correct. There's multiple passages in the Bible that talk about the word of God and how God uses that, both in speaking directly to us, or like in the way of Jonah, God speaking a direct word to Jonah, or speaking to us through the actual word of God, the Bible. Often that's how he speaks. Have you ever wondered why certain passages, you just feel drawn to it on a particular day? Like, I don't know why I'm supposed to be in the book of Jude, but for some reason, this verse came to my mind. Or a particular psalm. That's the Spirit of God leading you and directing you. And God's word can correct our actions, especially if we've gotten off track. When it says that God spoke a second time to Jonah, he's expecting that that word will correct what Jonah did wrong the first time. He tells Jonah to deliver the message that God gives him, and he gets that second chance to do what he should have done the first time, an opportunity to correct his earlier disobedience. You see, revival, renewal, redemption, it can take different forms. God can use different methods, but it always requires responding to the word of God, to the truth of God's word. When presented with the truth, capital T, God expects our response. It's not an inaction at all. It's a verb. It means doing something. And it can be uncomfortable at times. We talked about this back in chapter 1, where sometimes we want God to speak to us, but we don't want him to speak that word to us. We prefer the word that's a little bit more comfortable. But the truth is that sometimes God gives us a nice, comfortable word. And other times, it's uncomfortable. And he speaks in ways that we don't really want to hear or that we're more resistant to. But sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention. For Jonah, that's what it took. It took a whale. It took going into a city that was hostile. But God will do whatever it takes to get our attention and get us on the right way that he intends for us. Now, I'm sure that for Jonah, this was still hard in the moment. A difficult time. He has to go to a place and deliver a message that is not easy to give. To announce, imagine going to the main town square, whatever they had in Nineveh, standing up on his little apple box or, you know, cart or whatever he was doing, and just say, 40 days before all this is destroyed. This is all going to come down 40 days. Imagine that's the word that God has given. All Jonah can do is follow what God has given him. But one thing that we sometimes miss in this, we tend to see the word of judgment in this, but we also miss the word of grace. That God didn't say, I'm going to smite you right now. 40 days, I'm giving you time to turn. And that's exactly what happens. Gives them the chance. Because you know what? That's what God can do. He can speak both truth and he can offer grace at the same time. Mysteriously sometimes. One result of God's word is that it can open our eyes to really see God's truth. But can we also see the word of grace that is built into that? That second chance to change the trajectory. See, Jonah was so thinking, I think, initially about himself, that God was doing a work in him, that he didn't even realize that God was actually offering the same kind of chance for the people of Nineveh. A second chance. They could either listen or they could ignore. The question for us today is, how will we respond to the correction of God's word in our life? Where are the ways that we have gotten off track? God's offering you a second chance in some area of your life, and in my life, and in our life together. God's word can correct our actions, but it requires a step on our part. Third thing, God's work produces results. This is sometimes hard to always see because sometimes we don't always see what's happening. But the thing about when God is at work, he is producing results, whether we can see them or not. We'd prefer to see them. We'd prefer to see fruit. That's the image that we often use in the church. What's the fruit that I'm producing, the good fruit that I'm producing in my life? Well, God's work, when God is at work, is always producing results. And when the Ninevites heard the truth of God's word, I'm sure there was a lot of panic, but there was also a lot of turning and acknowledging the power and presence of God. They received it, and what did they do? They responded with heartfelt action. We could consider that repentance. We don't know to what level, but we do know that whatever it was, God relented on what he had planned to do. They believed God's word, and then they behaved in a way that matched outward action with what was happening inside them. There were signs of change. They put on sackcloth, which was, that was a traditional, those were practices that people do, fasting. You know, there were mourning rituals that people do when they were mourning the loss of loved ones. There were different things that culturally people would do to try to appeal to the gods. And in this case, they're appealing to the Lord God. They're trying to show that they are actually contrite, that they're humble, that they're lowering themselves and responding to the grace of God. And even the king responds. And my friends, if you were a Ninevite and you saw the king doing this, it would blow your mind. You would be like, what's going on here? No more royal robes. He's got the same clothes on that I do. He's got a ripped burlap sack, and he's down in the dust with you and me. This is totally unexpected, but it's exactly the kind of work that God can do, the kind of revival that God is capable of doing. Repentance and renewal. It can produce some amazing results that you would never, ever expect. We see this all throughout the Bible. We see people, we see comeback stories. We see people make amazing turns. We think of like the Apostle Paul, who's on his way, before he's the Apostle Paul, he's going to actively persecute and try to kill as many young Christians as he can. And on the way, who does he meet? Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And in that moment, Paul has a conversion, a total change of heart and mind and soul and spirit, and it changes the trajectory of his life forever. Maybe you can think of someone in your life, maybe it's you, or someone that you know who has had an experience like that. It's as if you see with new eyes. You can't explain it all. You just know that something is different from what you were before or how you were before. A changed life that's an unexpected result. I think of somebody like my dad. He was one of those 180 people who, once God got a hold of his heart and turned him around 180, he never looked back. Totally changed forever. Total trust in God. Sorry, Dad, sometimes annoyingly so. In your life, maybe you know someone like that, whose life suddenly took a dramatic turn in God's direction. And to us today, I would say if God acted like that in the past for the Ninevites, then he can do so again today. In our day and in our world, for you, for me, for the communities that we are part of, producing results in ways that we might not realize or even want to believe. You mean God is acting in that way right now? I don't know. That's a tough pill to swallow. For the Ninevites, it took Jonah being willing to turn and repent before God was able to produce the actions that he intended or wanted. And it's one reason that I think God continues to stay at work in you and me, so that he can continue the work that he intends. Don't get me wrong, he'll keep on working without us if we want to go it our own way. But he would so prefer that we work with him. That's the third one. God's work produces results. Last one, God's blessing transforms creation. And I'm using the word creation in its most expansive sense, both small and big. It can transform hearts. It can transform people. It can transform culture. When God extends blessing, things are transformed. And that's what happens here for Nineveh. They had assured destruction, but because of how they changed, God blessed them by relenting. When we listen to and obey God and seek to follow his ways, we actually begin to experience more and more of the blessing that he intends for us. And not just to hoard that blessing for ourselves. I'm probably like a broken record with this sometimes. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to the world we are a part of. God's blessing has a transformative effect on the world around you, if you allow it to. And even if you don't allow it to, God can still transform creation with or without us. Imagine the dramatic transformation that takes place in that city, Nineveh. We see the decree that the king had and all of the things that he wanted his people to institute. And only God could produce this. That's why I call it a miracle. You see, when God revives and renews what seems dead to us or improbable, suddenly the impossible can change. It's hard to believe at times. Sometimes we want to believe it, but we're just not completely sure. God, can you actually transform what seems dead to me? Can you transform this broken relationship that I have? Can you transform these ways in which I have not honored you? Can you transform the neighborhood that I live in? When God's people are noticeably transformed by the good news of Christ, that blessing that comes your way, that God grants, can quite literally change the world around you before your very eyes. My friends, this is a powerful word of hope for us today in light of all the negativity, in light of all of the bad news that we're always inundated with everywhere, all the things that we continue to pray for, and yet with us, God can actually transform the world to make it the place that it can be. These different aspects of revival begin with you. They begin in your heart. So today, if you've been running away or running aimlessly, then perhaps it's time to stop. God is looking to us. Are we going to listen to him? Are we going to follow the word that he has given? Are we going to up our compassion meter so that we can return to him and participate in the work that he is doing in his world? What happened when Jonah's heart changed in that stinky, smelly belly of the fish? He used him to change a city of 120,000 people. God used him to bring about a revival. It began in his heart, Although we'll learn next chapter that his heart was still having trouble. When I think of revival, the question I think of is, what amazing blessings might happen through your revival? Who might God bless through your revival? The revival of your heart. Remember that it's always a great privilege for us to be able to walk with God and to be able to extend his love and compassion to the world. If we want to be known for anything, that's what I want us to be known for. Not what we're against, but what we are for. I urge you this morning to seize the opportunities that God is placing before you. Seek the face of the Lord. You won't be disappointed. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the ways that you got a hold of Jonah's heart, how you drew him to yourself, how when he reached out to you, you forgave him and gave him a second chance. God, if there's someone here this morning that needs a second chance, would you give them the courage to turn to you and to ask for your forgiveness? God, you are the author of all good things. You are the extender of blessing. And I pray that as you turn our hearts more and more into the character of your Son, Jesus, that you would continue to do your work through us, not only in us, but through us as well. God, give each person here this morning special vision to see what you have placed before them, and then the courage to say yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. This is one of my favorite words to end with. A charge for us as we go. Trust in the maker of all creation. Honor God with an enormous faith and extend yourselves in love, for no one lives beyond the Spirit's reach. Whether you're in the belly of a whale or in the midst of Nineveh, no one is beyond the reach of God. Peace be with us. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again.